Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Boogs. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Hello.
Welcome back, Tone. And, as always, our moderator, AJ.
Good evening, boys.
We are here back in the studio after an adventurous weekend, to say the least, at Mountaineer Racetrack and Casino. Had a good time. AJ, what do you think of the trip?
It was a very prosperous trip for myself. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed myself. I had a good time.
Yeah, when you win at the casino, you typically have a good time. Unfortunately for myself, I got absolutely totally smoked. Wasn't my fault. Spanish 21, stay away from it if you're a blackjack fan, because it's different.
It's the worst. Yeah, I definitely got taken as well. So me and Nate didn't have such good luck, but I did have a great time. It was great to get out with the boys. We golfed on Sunday. We gambled. We woke up and golfed again on Monday. So it was a really good time.
Yeah, always a good time hanging out with the guys, the team. And then it's always nice to get out at a place like that where you got degenerates like ourselves with mm-hmm. nothing but gambling around us. You got a beautiful sports book. If you haven't yet, go check out their casino, Mountaineer. I hope you guys listen sometime. I will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a great sports book. Unfortunately, that Sunday, we didn't have many tables to choose from because it was relatively way more busy than we expected.
Yeah,
I was really surprised by that. I would say that was probably the one downfall, is that there was hardly any blackjack tables for all of us to get onto. That's why we were all reduced to Spanish 21, and I know it tore me a new one like it always does, mm-hmm. but it is what it is. It was our only choice. I kind of had to play because I'm down there with the fellas, and that's what happens sometimes. That's the game.
Yeah, I had the itch, so I had to play it. So if you don't know, Spanish 21 is basically blackjack, but they take the 10s out of the deck. So you will not see the dealer bust nearly as much as you want her to, or him to, or whoever you got dealing. You just don't have the 10s in the deck, and that's a huge card when it comes to blackjack.
Yeah, it sucks. It's not fun. Blackjack the following day was cool. Golf the following day was rough for myself, but you guys did pretty well back-to-back days on the golf course.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
I sucked on the putting green. Definitely, as we kept track of putts, if you listened to that last episode, it's a huge part of your game. You're going to run your score up like crazy if you are no good on the greens, and that proved true for me both days, unfortunately.
Yeah, the putts that's the most important part of the game. So I love putting. It's my favorite thing to do on the golf course. And fortunately, I was able to win putts on Monday. AJ won it on Sunday. And then me and Nate came down to the last hole again. So it was super competitive. We ended up tying. I had a huge collapse. I sucked. Nate was clutch again. So it was what it was. It was really fun. We love putting that little extra couple dollars on it because it just makes everything important.
Yeah.
Now it matters if I make a putt or if I miss a putt, I hit the green. It's just so much fun. So I love that little added incentive we had. Win or lose, it's a great time.
Yeah, it was a great time. Yeah, like Tom was saying, he had somewhat of a meltdown, but I couldn't capitalize. I was on the green in two, and I had myself a birdie putt, and I ended up three putting again. Just, I'm not mad. I'm fine.
Hate to see it.
Yeah. Hate to see it.
Yeah, you truly do. But what's on tap for this episode there, AJ the moderator?
So we got a little bit of DraftKings for the golf this weekend, if you're into golf. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball. We are going to just give a very quick our own predictions for the UFC card. There's a 3 title fight. And then we are going to kick it over to Monty, and he's going to give us his expert opinion on the 3 title fights as well.
Yeah, Monty the Italian is back again. Usually he's here for the big events, and we have 3 title fights, so this is as big as it gets. But yeah, we're going to be talking about the Zurich Classic, held through Thursday to Sunday this week, and is being held in New Orleans. So if you haven't heard or are familiar with the Zurich Classic, in which we're taking our DraftKings on, it is a team event, and the format that will be used is an alternating round 4-ball and foursomes. The first and third rounds will be 4-ball, and the second and final rounds will be foursomes. So for foursomes play, players will rotate tee shots. One player will hit tee shots on all the odd numbered holes, and the others will hit tee shots on the even number holes. For example, player A and player B are partners. On the first hole, player A tees off, player B plays the second shot. Then player A plays the third shot, and so on until the ball is holed. The total strokes taken will result in the team's score for that hole. Then for four ball play, the players on each team will each play his own ball throughout the entirety of the round, with the best score on each hole recorded. Example, on the first hole, both golfers on each team tee off. Player A pars hole and player B birdies. The team will be credited with a birdie.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's the format. It's a little different than typical PGA weekends. So I figured it'd be pretty fun to talk about. The DraftKings are super interesting and difficult because there's a lot of guys who are not familiar or common on the tour that you'll normally see every day. Like, I don't think maybe like 30% of these guys were even in the Masters. So, yeah, I think it should be a good time. Learn new guys. Get our knowledge up about it. So I'm going to kick this DraftKings off with my co-host, Tone. And who do you feel most comfortable about? We are going to go with the most expensive guys down to the least expensive on your team.
So just to piggyback off what you just said, this was the most difficult DraftKings lineup I've ever put together. It's very challenging. You have pairs of two, but you can only pick one of each team. So I have to figure out, first of all, what team do I think is going to win? And then after that, I need to figure out which one of those two is going to be better. So it's very challenging for me. I feel like I came up with a very solid squad, but this is a different format. I'm kind of excited to get down into it. So for my top guy, he's only $9,700, but I'm going to go with Victor Hovland. It's hard for me not to take him. He's partners with Ventura here. They were competitors in junior golf and teammates at Oklahoma State. So I feel like they just have a really, really good chemistry. I feel like they should feed off each other. They know each other's strengths and weaknesses. And I think it's going to be a good pairing. Victor's been playing fantastic golf. He's really coming into his own. And for that price tag, I will definitely take him at $9,700.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Unfortunately, I didn't put him on my specific roster I have. I have multiple. I love Team Norway in this situation. I love that grouping. I think they do fare well. They're at least going to get top five. But I went ahead and pulled the trigger on the heaviest hitters, the most expensive. After the poor performance Patrick Cantlay delivered in the Masters, I can't see him doing anything but spectacular, especially with one of the best golfers in the world, Xander Schauffele. They are $11,700. I just feel like I have room to take them because I see a lot of value in the just a few teams that are lower price tag. So I love Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good. There's a common theme. I think between the three of us, I'm by far the weakest golfer. And I will also claim to have the least amount of knowledge when it comes to PGA. So I don't really have a lot of stats or fun facts to back up my picks, but I'll give them to you guys anyways just to fit in with the group. My top dollar team, I'm actually going to continue riding my Masters pick. I'm going Finau and Champ. Can't really tell you why. I just really feel like Finau is my guy. I really dig him. And that's really the only reason I'm picking him. It's my guy. So
yeah, so I'm going to just jump ahead real quick of Tone just because I have somewhat luck it in.
Hey.
I have Cameron Champ and Tony Finau.
Nice.
I got two high price point teams. It's so hard to pick against these guys. You got heavy hitters who can absolutely bomb the ball. Cameron Champ is the second longest driver on tour, and then Tony Finau isn't too far behind. I feel like when you got that kind of power, when DeChambeau's not on the course and you guys are on a team, I feel like there's way more less room for error. So I am going to luck that in just to make it a little easier before Tone goes. And I got Tony Finau and Cameron Champ at $10,700.
Nice.
Very nice. I like those picks. I like Tony. He's very solid. I flirted with taking him at the Masters. I didn't, but I like that pick.
I flirted with him at the Masters.
Ooh, I like that. So for my next pick, I went with Justin Rose. So he's paired with Stenson in this round. He's $9,500. I really like this Euro partnership. They're two former top 10 ranked golfers in the world. Justin Rose, as we know, was the first round leader at the Masters a few weeks ago. So that was a huge opportunity for him. I think it kind of reminded everyone how good he is or how much potential he has. So he won this tournament back in 2015 when it was a singles format. I think he has a very good familiarity with the course. So I will go with Justin Rose at 9,500.
All right. My number two slot, also a high dollar value on my top two teams here. Coming at 10,300, I have Hatton and Willett.
So Danny Willett and Tyrell Hatton. Very good pick.
Yep.
A couple Englishmen.
Yep. I'm going with a couple dudes from across the pond. Just feel good about them. I like their price point, and that's going to be my number two team.
So that goes to Tone, because we're just getting back in the rotation after I got a nice little luck it in.
I like that. So for my third pick, I will go with Erik van Rooyen, $8,200. He's coming off a very respectable round at Valero Texas Open. He did very good at the WGC match the week before that. I just think he's a really good ball striker. He has a nice touch around the green. He's a solid player, so I like the matchup with Clark. I think they can, you know, give people a run for their money. So I will go with Erik van Rooyen for $8,200.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot myself. I have them in one other lineup, I believe. But with my third pick, I have Michael Thompson and Will Gordon. Will Gordon's just a kid out of Vanderbilt. He's still young. And combined, these two have made 24 of their 34 cuts just this year. So they're out there playing a ton. They're out there making their name. Michael Thompson's got a top 10. And then Will Gordon is still trying to prove his name. I remember watching him last year. I believe it was his, I don't know if he was an amateur or it was just his first year as a pro. But he's young and he's hungry. And I think this is the perfect event for these guys to shine. So I think I can make a bold prediction that these guys beat my other 10,700 and 11,700 lineup guys. And I think these guys win it all. This is my bold prediction. Michael Thompson and Will Gordon. Remember that name.
Hell yeah. All right. My third slot here, hopefully I pronounce properly. I have Kokrak and Perez. I have them coming in at 8,300. Four top 10s. They made the cut 12 out of 15 times. And for that price point, I like those numbers. Give me that.
I like that. Yeah. Kokrak's, he's a solid player. He really goes for it. So I feel like he can definitely make a name for himself, or he can't. So that's the thing with him. He's a little inconsistent, but he's solid overall. I like that. All right. So for my fourth player, I'm going to go with Cameron Tringale. Him and Robert Castro, they're teaming up. I feel like Tringale's having a great season in 2021. He's had seven top 25 and three top 10 finishes and only 15 starts. So for me, those are really good numbers. He's made the cut in 12 of those starts, including nine of the past 10. I just feel like his ball striking has been fantastic. He's just a good, solid player. So I feel like for $8,000, I will take Cameron Tringale all day.
Okay, yeah, that's also a pretty good pick. You got a good lineup going. But for my fourth pick, I am going to go with a couple guys who seem to almost always make the cut whenever they play. I got Scott Piercy. I can pronounce this. It's Akshay Bate. I can't pronounce it, but he has only played in six events, but he has made three cuts, and in those three cuts, he has a top 10. And then you got Scott Piercy, who's made 10 of his 13 cuts. So he's out there making cuts, and they are a relatively lower price point at 6,900 giggity. So it is just, I feel like it's a huge value pick. I don't think they're going to do anything spectacular, but I think they're going to score points, and they're going to score more points than you would think.
All right, that's me. My next team I got here at 7,400, I have Snedeker and Mitchell. I actually don't really feel great about this pick, but I am new to DraftKings, so forgive me. I'm trying to figure out how to work my salaries. I think I might have went a little too top heavy because this team and my last two really do suck. But hopefully, I just get lucky and they hit. So I got Snedeker and Mitchell at 7,400. One top 10, they're 8 out of 16 making cuts. So there's a 50% chance they might not even be here at the end of it. But give them to me anyways.
Yeah, Brant Snedeker is a legend, so it's not a bad pick at all.
Definitely. Always respectable. All right, so for my fifth pick, I'm going to go with Matt Naismith. So him and Chase are teaming up. Matt is 7,500. But one thing we've learned about this particular event is the stats from this event show that ball striking with a heavy lean on the approach is key to success. So this is the one team that has two players within the top 20 of that striking approach. So it's a really good spot for them. Like I said, if they can get those stroke gains on that approach, then they're going to be all right. So I really like that Matt Naismith at that price point. I think I'm taking a risk with him, but I think he can have a lot of potential.
That was a fucking legendary stat.
That was
my goodness. Holy cow. But I don't quite have the stat for that, but I have team Troy Merritt and Robert Streb. I just remember from watching last year, Troy Merritt was really coming on towards the end of the year, playing really well golf, really good golf. And then this year, he hasn't really produced the top 10 type of play. He has, though, made 10 of his 19 cuts. So he's out there playing events. He's out there playing golf. And the only way you can get better is you keep playing. I love that about him. And as well as his teammate, Robert Streb, he's 9 for 17 on cuts. But he has made the top 10. So he's got the capability. And, I mean, he's able to make that kind of jump. And with him and Troy on the same team, I love that dynamic. I think they could be some sleepers. I love that pick. I think they are extremely undervalued.
I like it.
All right, so my next pick is going to be my sleeper pick. I'm not saying that they're going to win or anything like that, but for the price point I got, I really like this next team. I have Putnam and Harrington. I got them for $6,600. They're 11 out of 19 on cuts, 3 top 10 finishes, and their average is 70.4, which is only one above Finau and Champ. So I really like that price point. I really like this pairing. And I'm kind of watching these guys. Like I said, I'm making those two my dark horses.
Yeah, I think these last picks are probably going to be all sleeper type picks for us. When you make these DraftKings lineups, generally you want to take one or two hot, top heavy guys, and then you might take one or two smaller guys. So I really like that. I think I also have another sleeper pick. So for my last and final pick, I have Sam Ryder. So I'm going to go with Sam Ryder. He's $7,000. He has 3 top 10 finishes this season, which includes a second place finish, an 8th, and a 10th. So I think that's very solid. He's a streaky golfer, but I feel like he can really get into it, get some birdies, and, make a name for himself. So he's paired with Doc Redman. I will take Sam Ryder for $7,000.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I don't know if you guys have quite paid attention, but the way we made our lineups are so completely different because I have 3 different teams that are less than your lowest, that are cheaper than your lowest. So it's crazy how top heavy I went and how kind of middle and just like, so you're chasing for the cuts, and that's a genius pick because if your guys miss a cut, then they can't score any points for 2 days.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I roll with the golf. I mean, I never really want to take the favorite, but I do like taking, a lot of those top middle guys because they have a lot of potential. And for me, most of the time, the favorite doesn't win. So it's not worth spending the bankroll on it. I think the most expensive guy I had was still under 10 grand.
Yeah. Both strategies work at times and you just never know.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So for my last pick, I went with Jonathan Vega, however you pronounce it. I apologize. I know he's a legend in the game. He has made 10 of his 15 cuts. He still has a top 10 this year. But why they're only 6,400 is he is paired with Andreas Romero, and he's only played 2 events. He's made 1 of those cuts. So he's extremely unproven, and it's tough to take that, but I'm just going to plan on Vegas carrying him. So yeah, I'm going with Jonathan Vegas and Andreas Romero.
So my last team sucks. They're not good, but it was all I had available with my budget. Again, I'm new to this DraftKings thing, so I'm definitely not saying to ride this. But either way, I have Belgian and Every. I don't even know their first names. I'm just giving last names out here. 6,500. Zero top tens. They are one out of one for cuts. So I'm assuming that these guys are brand new to the game. Maybe they just feed off each other and make a cut. That's all I'm rooting for. Just make the cut. Give me those last 2 day points, and hopefully my top heavy guys can carry me to the dub.
Yeah, right on. So I think that just about concludes it. Seems like me and AJ were kind of striking top heavy for the most part, and then Tone, he just kind of, yeah, middle of the road.
Yeah,
which
of the road.
Is a pretty good pick.
Yeah.
So what does that lead us into?
That takes us to baseball. We have 6 games tomorrow that we can kind of go over and get you guys' take if you'd like. Do you guys want pitchers as well as the teams?
Yeah, if you can just throw their last name out there.
I gotcha. All right, so first game tomorrow, it's at noon. We have the Arizona Diamondbacks. Pitcher for that one is Taylor Widner, and they are plus 1.5 points. They're playing at Cincinnati. Jeff Hoffman's pitching, and they are minus 1.5.
Yeah, so it just seems that we are Ohio, and they are playing in Cincinnati, and we are pretty familiar with the weather and what it's probably going to be like around that time at noon. It's going to be freezing cold, kind of like as we're recording, watching this New York Yankees-Atlanta Braves game. And I just had watched Freddie Freeman in the on-deck box blowing on his hands that had the thickest gloves I've ever seen. So it is cold, cold. So I can't imagine it's going to be any different in Cincinnati. I would like to take the under. What is it, 8.5?
8.5.
Yeah, I would jump all over the under with a can of tuna and paint spray. So I am going to take the under in that.
Yeah, that's funny because I'm also going to take the under. So I really like the under in this matchup. You got two pitchers who have very respectable ERAs. Widener's at 1.59. Hoffman's at 2.93. They're playing tonight. They're going to play again tomorrow afternoon. I just think the game is in a particular spot to take the under. So I will luck that in. We will take the under 8.5 points.
We don't.
All right, next game's at 7 p.m. tomorrow. We have the Seattle Mariners. They are plus 1.5 runs. Justin Dunn will be pitching for the Mariners. They are taking on the Boston Red Sox. Pitcher Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, I think this should be a pretty interesting matchup. Both these teams have pretty similar records. The Mariners are 11-7. Red Sox are 12-6. Both these pitchers are undefeated. So Justin Dunn is 1-0. Nick is 2-0. I can't help but to go with Boston in this situation. So I hate to take those bigger bets. I might not even put a full unit on it, but I will take Boston minus 160. I think they're going to take business, you know, take care of business at home. So I will go with Boston minus 160 just on the money line.
Yeah, Nick Pivetta was a huge acquisition from the Philadelphia Phillies, and I think he fits that rotation just perfectly. And I would also agree. What's the money line on that, if we have it?
Minus 166.
Oh, holy cow. They're
up a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, they're thinking what we're thinking. I'm going to pass the game because I do think the Red Sox win, but I don't think it's a super high-scoring game, but you never know with a big home run. Or, like I said, with this New York game, how chilly it is. Boston's not too far away. Probably chilly as well. Weather's a huge, huge aspect of baseball because if it's that cold, the ball's not flying nearly as far. So I would lean towards the under, and I would also – I mean, if you're going to get the odds, I would lean towards the Boston minus 1.5.
Yeah, but so I think that's another thing about baseball is you can, like Nate just said, Boston minus 1.5. That's called the run line. So in baseball, you could take the run line, which I imagine, I don't have the odds in front of me, but it's probably like plus 105, plus 110.
Plus 110.
Okay.
Yep. Normally, yeah.
So it's something like that. So if you don't want to take Boston minus 160 because it's a little juicy, which is very understandable. You could take Boston minus 1.5 runs at plus 110. So that's another option with baseball. It's an intricate sport, you know. You got to understand the pitchers. You got to understand the run line, the money line, the over-under. So it's just one of the routes you could take if you'd like.
Yeah, the over-under for that one's 9.5. So if you feel like it's going to be a low-scoring game, I would lock that in.
I feel like people are begging to have people take the under, or Vegas is begging to have people take the under when they throw it at 9.5 with the weather the way it is. And you got Nick Pivetta on the mound, and you got a couple good starters like Tone mentioned. So that That's a tough pick. I'm only throwing lanes on that game for sure. But that's why baseball is the toughest sport to gamble, because they play nearly every single day. You never know what can happen day in and day out. Anybody can beat anybody.
So our next game, Bovada does not have a run line or an over-under, but I'll throw it your way anyways. We have the New York Mets, Joey Lucchesi on the mound, taking on the Chicago Cubs with Trevor Williams. Cubs are plus 110, Mets are minus 130.
Yeah, I remember Lucchesi. He was playing in the at the Padres when he was a rookie, and I had him on my fantasy team, and we dang near made it just because I snagged him so low in the draft. But it's crazy to see him where he's at now. Prayers to all the Indians fans out there. Francisco Lindor, he was the heart of our city when LeBron left. I mean, he made things okay when LeBron left, because we got Francisco. He was going to be on that giant black poster on the side of the building in Cleveland where LeBron is splattering his chalk. Mm-hmm. It was going to be Lindor and his big old smile, Mr. Smile. So it's a touchy subject when we talk about the Mets. But all right, let me gather myself. But I am not going to have any take on this game. I will never bet on a Mets game this year because they are going to win the World Series.
I don't think I can take anything either on this, to be honest. If anything, I feel like both these pitchers have extremely high ERAs, although it's a very small sample size. You might want to explore the over in this game, but I'm going to pass ultimately.
When LeBron left the first time, wasn't Josh Cribbs on the...
On the Browns? What year was it? He left in 2011 to 2012?
I think they took LeBron's poster down, and they put Josh Cribbs up as the poster guy for the city.
He has a talk show.
Am I misremembering that?
I don't think you're wrong with that.
I don't remember what That's they put wild, up.
Though. Yeah, there was a time where our punt returner was like the biggest athlete in the city.
No, I think you're right, though, yeah. He's a Kent State guy.
Yeah. He has a talk show in Northeast Ohio now. It's... And him and his wife. So that's where LeBron's still a goat in that wild.
Yeah, I think LeBron's still up there. I think they still have a poster of LeBron now. Maybe I'm misremembering that too, but I'm pretty sure he came down the first time, and I think they replaced him with the Cleveland Browns kick returner. That was wild.
What a time.
Yeah, what a time.
What a time. Right.
All right. The next one, we have Alex Cobb pitching for the Los Angeles Angels, and they are +1.5 on the run line. +105 on the money line. They're taking on Christian Javier and the Houston Astros. -1.5, -125. Over under is 9 runs.
So I don't think I want to take a side in this one. I feel like it's going to be a competitive game back and forth. So I'm going to go ahead and take the over. So both these pitchers, you know, Javier doesn't do terrible, but he definitely isn't great. And I feel like Cobb, his ERA is just way too high. So I feel like there definitely could be some run score in this game. I could be wrong, but I'll go with the over 9.
Yeah, I also going to look that in, I think, because they got an offense with Mike Trout. Unfortunately, Anthony Rendon has had a lot of injuries. He was projected to be the 6th best player in the major leagues this year, which is crazy to think about when you got him and Mike Trout in the lineup. And Shohei Ohtani, I don't know if you guys know about him yet, but he... It's hard to say that he's not the best player in Major League Baseball. My guy is out there, starting pitcher, throwing 100 mile an hour, and he is out there hitting home runs at over 100 mile an hour out of the stadium. So,
I think it could have changed. It was a week or two ago. Currently has the fastest pitch and the fastest exit velocity at the same exact time.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm going to luck that in and... Take the over 9. AJ, it's that button.
Yep,
it's that button.
Okay, cool.
All right, that's luck it in. So, hey, get used to it, nerds.
All right, next one, we got the Miami Marlins. Pitching for them is Daniel Castano. They are +1.5 on the run line. And we have them taking on the Aaron Sanchez and the San Francisco Giants. -1.5, -145, and over-under is 8.
Yeah, so there was one point in time where it just seemed like The Giants were going to win every other World Series. I think it was like a 6-year period where they had three years. They won it. So that's a crazy thing. I just think I'm going to pass this game overall. I haven't seen either of these teams play all that much, and I'm not going to put on air something I'm not 100% comfortable in. So I'm going to pass it. I like the Giants. I like all their potential they have this year, but I just don't like this pick.
I agree with you. It's hard because, you know, you have Daniel Castano. This is first time out this year, so it's really hard for me to take a pitcher that I haven't seen at all, and I don't want to put anything on air as well. So I'm going to also pass this game.
Last game of the night tomorrow, we have Ryan Weathers pitching for the San Diego Padres. They are +1.5 on the run line, taking on Walker Buehler for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They are -1.5 on the run line, -175 on the money line. Over under on this one is 7.5.
Buehler.
It's hard not to back Walker Buehler. So Buehler. I'm probably going to pass this game as well. I just don't want to give out anything too crazy, but if I had to lean, I would just take the Dodgers on the money line. I don't want to lay -177, though. So it's too much for me to lay. I don't know if I like them on the run line, because I think it should be a pretty close underscoring game. So I'm just going to pass this game. But if I had to pick, I would take the LA Dodgers.
Yeah, Buehler is one of the best young pitchers in the league. Last year, he went absolutely off. This Dodgers team, I don't think there's going to be a single game that they are not favored in. Not one. Because, I mean, they are so stacked.
That rotation is filthy.
Yeah, their price tag is so high. I mean, Mookie Betts was just an easy sign.
Dodgers are the first team I've seen since the Indians had such a filthy starting rotation. I think this is the first rotation I've seen comparable to the Indians a few years back.
So, yeah, when the Indians had, like, Kluber and Bauer. Carrasco, Bauer, Clevenger. I mean, they were stacked. But, yeah, this Dodgers team, we'll have to keep track on this because I'm going to say this right now. If the Dodgers are ever an underdog, you can pinch me in the back of the arm because we all know that hurts.
Yeah, anytime the Dodgers are underdog in any game this year, I would say lock that in. Put a couple units on it.
Oh, yeah. And then you got they're playing the Padres, right?
Yep.
And Tatis, who was my early MLB prediction to be the MVP, he's been hurt. I had him picked as my first overall pick in the Yahoo Fantasy League. Shout out to Yahoo.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I think, did you make a take on that, Tone? No, I don't think he did. No, yeah,
Tone, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, what's your go ahead and unmute yourself.
What do you think about that one?
It's really hard to say. So I think I'll just not pick a side on this one.
No opinion whatsoever.
Just, yeah. Okay. Go with no opinion. I think it sounds fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
What about you, Nate?
Yeah, Nate, what do you think about that one? That'll basically wrap up MLB for the night. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a big card for UFC this weekend. It's actually the first UFC that is allowing guests into the arena again since COVID happened. So it's a big deal. It's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida this Saturday. And I think because of the fans in attendance, they are giving us another three title fight card. It hasn't happened a lot, but we just had one recently and we're getting another one. Tone, I know that you're not quite familiar yet. You're getting there, but Nate, I'll kind of run through these real quick. We can go back and forth. And so we'll just go real quick with this. First one, we got Valentina Shevchenko. She's -450 taking on Jessica Andrade. It's +325. For me, it's pretty easy. I'm going Valentina. What do you think?
Yeah, Shevchenko.
Yeah, that's it.
Chevrolet.
Yeah, Chevrolet.
Shevchenko.
Valentina Chevrolet at -450. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Shevchenko and Andretti.
Mario Andretti.
Yeah, same same people.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was a big UFC fan back in the day when it was like Matt Hughes, Matt Serra, Anderson Silva was still on the scene. Like he was the GOAT at the time. Then you had Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, Forrest Griffin, all those guys. So I got out of it for a while, but I've been kind of I've been getting back into it because of Monty the Italian on our show, and then we've
shout out Monty.
Yep, and yeah. I've been hosting a few fight events, and so now I'm getting back into it, starting to learn the names, the faces of the new UFC. But I also like Valentina Shevchenko. I just think this fight will go the distance overall. I don't know if there's odds on that at all. If you can see them, where you have them.
I don't have odds on the decision, but I'm sure it might be something Monty might have when he comes up.
Yeah, all right. Perfect.
So we got Chevy riding high on his first title fight. Next one we have Weili Zhang. She's the current champ. She's minus 210. She's taking on Thug Rose Namajunas. I'm going underdog on this one. Give me Thug Rose for plus 170.
Wow. Oh, I didn't realize she was that much of an underdog. I mean, Thug Rose, she's a G. Yeah, Namajunas, she is a beast. But then again, when I see those odds, I'm going to pass the fight because I just think it's going to be a fun one for the viewers to watch in this this instance, because Thug Rose, she can knock someone's fucking head off.
Yeah.
But then you got say it again. You said it pretty good.
Weili Zhang.
Yeah, I think I've watched her twice, and she's just a bad bitch in all respect possible. Yeah. Sorry for anything.
Yeah, she's a bad woman.
Yeah, so I think what's her odds plus?
Zhang is minus 210.
Oh, minus 210, my bad.
Rose is plus 170.
My goodness. You know what? I'm going to jump with you. Nice. I think Rose Namajunas, by decision.
Okay.
Because her chin, I think she can hang with her.
Yeah. And, you know, that takes us to the main event. It's going to be a no-brainer for me. We have Kamaru Usman, minus 400, who is possibly, arguably, the top pound-for-pound fighter in the game right now. He looks to be as unstoppable as you could possibly be. He is running back Jorge Masvidal. He's plus 300. Definitely going to lock Usman in for that one. That's an easy one. But what do you think? Any upsets?
Yeah, I remember watching their first go-around, and it was a lot of clinching and foot stomps. A
lot of foot stomps. Yeah. It actually was a running meme.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that fight went that way. I hope it's more of a slugfest this time, because Jorge Masvidal, he's a thug. He's an OG. He's been doing this forever. He was backyard boxing in Kimbo. Him and Kimbo Slice back in the day. Backyard boxing. This dude, he's a fighter, born fighter. I just, with the sport that it is today, I feel like he would have a better chance if it was bare-knuckled backyard fight. Yeah. I think Kamaru Usman is going to win this fight. I think he's going to leave no doubt about it. I think he gets a knockout within three rounds.
Yep.
But no disrespect for Jorge Masvidal. He's a G. He's a man.
Game bread.
And quick little shout out. Still right now, there are three African-born UFC champions at this moment. Francis Ngannou, Kamaru Usman, and Israel Adesanya. So quick shout out, because they are taking over the game. I mean, it's the thing. Those guys are arguably the top three fighters in the world right now. So shout out to the three African-born fighters. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and real quick, just to wrap it up here, because Shevchenko and Usman are just so highly favorited, I did a little three parlay for those picks. Usman, Namajunas, Shevchenko, plus 310 if you wrap those three into one pick. I think that's something to watch for.
That's pretty interesting take, my guy. So we'll see how it all unfolds Saturday night. One of the biggest events, maybe even the second biggest event of this year, which is crazy because there's three title fights. That Stipe card was nasty, and then I think they're trying to, like AJ was saying, bring the fans back in, bring the fights, bring the money, because they're getting competitors with all the YouTube boxing, and then with all these other fight leagues. Bellator has always been trying to be on the rise, and then the Professional Fight League, and you got the One Fight League.
WWE.
Yeah, everything. So you want to get the biggest names on the biggest cards. And I was talking to Monty a few nights ago, and he was saying, yeah, they only really do the pay-per-view once a month, the end of the month, and they put the fights on that people want to see and spend the money on. So, yeah, shout out to that. But with all that being said, I think that just about wraps it up, boys. You guys got anything?
I just really wanted to say shout out to Luck Changers Podcast. Just wrapped up our first out-of-state trip. Hope to make that a annual trip and maybe throw some other things in the calendar for our little squad here. That was fun. Enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a great time. I love you guys. We're 20 episodes in, so this is our 20th episode. You know, give or take a couple minis, but we're doing our damn thing. We're trying to get some momentum going, and we're ready for football season. Let's get it, boys.
Oh, yeah. I have nothing to say, but I love you guys, too. And then we always got to check on the social medias. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok.
OnlyFans?
MySpace?
Tinder? Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and, if you look it
Grindr?
Up.
Grindr?
Oh, yeah.
No, you won't catch us on there.
No.
Pause.
Anyway.
All right. This is getting edited.
No.
Yeah.
That's funny. But, no, check us out on anywhere. You can Google us, and which is crazy because if you Google Luck Changers, we are all over that first Google page, but the first thing nice. That pops up is like a tire business company. I don't even think they're in Ohio.
Interesting.
By the way, Anthony Gonzalez, congressman, proposing that sports gambling, the only reason it's not legal right now, which is becoming legal super soon, is because they're trying to debate whether the money goes to the Ohio lottery or sports betting like commissions. So it's super soon. I saw it on the Pat McAfee show, quick shout out. So be prepared because we are all verified technically, but we will be legitimately verified when it's legal in Ohio.
Yes sir.
So before you know it, we're gonna fast forward a couple years ahead, but we're going to be the Luck Changers sports consultants.
Ooh,
not for
free now.
Yeah,
but
not for entertainment purposes.
This will be for legitimate purposes only.
Nice, that sounds lovely.
We will be making
but
money
for now,
this.
But for we now, we are totally free, always free, giving out our picks and just trying to show you guys if you should rock with us or not.
Entertainment purposes only.
So follow or fade us. We love you guys and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. Email us at luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. I think that's the one thing I had left out. You will see and learn everything we have to say and teach off air because we can't say it all in one episode or two episodes. With everything we know and what's going on with the MLB and NBA seasons, we can't cover everything. But what you can do is email us and... like Tone was saying, we are free right now. So take advantage or get lost, nerd. So with all that being said, as far as I, your host Boogs, my co-host Tone, and AJ the moderator, we are the Luck Changers Podcast, and we are out.
Adios.
Peace, somebody.
Peace.